Welcome to Daily Defining Moments. This is Pastor Allen, and I'm so glad you're with me. Our goal each day is to help you open your Bible and connect with Jesus. Remember, before I begin my day, God has something to say. We're reading through the New Testament portion of the one-year Bible in the New Living Translation. Today is November 29th, and our reading comes from 2 Peter chapter 3. Beginning in verse 8, Peter says this, "But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about His promise, as some people think. No, He's being patient for your sake. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent, to turn back to Him. But the day the Lord will come is unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment." So the first thing Peter is talking about today is coming judgment and why it's taking so long for Jesus to return. Well, remember, he says, a day to the Lord is like a thousand years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The truth is, God exists outside of time. When God created the universe and created our world and created night and day, He basically was creating time. But God exists outside of time. See, He's not always in the same hurry that we are in. And often people will ask me about end times. And one of the things that is interesting is when you study creation, let me just give you this little thought, is when you study creation, it took 7 days. And in the seventh day, God rested. Well, here Peter says a day is like 1,000 years. Well, some people, when they study the world and history, they would say that civilization, man, has been on earth about 6,000 years. If that's true, then that would mean any moment, if a day is like 1,000 years, and God created for 6 days and rested on the seventh day, maybe Jesus is about to return so that that seventh day, that's last 1,000 years, will be the millennium. I don't know. That's how some people see end times unfolding, which would mean Jesus could come back any moment. I certainly think we are closer than we've ever been, right? So hopefully Jesus comes back soon. But he says the reason Jesus has delayed is because he's patiently waiting for people to be saved. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm so glad he waited at least another 2,000 years after the resurrection so that I could be born. So that you could be born, so that we could have eternal life, so that we would exist at all, so that we could live forever with God. So when Jesus came back after the resurrection, what if he would have just left for a couple of years and returned? Well, he certainly could have done that, but if he would have, you and I would have never been born, and our kids wouldn't have been born, and our parents and grandparents wouldn't have been born, right? God has been patient. But that also means, listen, that also means God patiently endures the sin and the suffering in our world because he's longing for people to get saved. In fact, he works redemptively through the sin and suffering in our world to open people's hearts to redemption so that people would be saved. Often people struggle with that idea. Why isn't God doing something? Why didn't God come back? Well, just like God longs to have a relationship with you and to spend eternity with you, apparently there are people who have not said yes to Jesus yet, and he longs, he's patiently waiting, giving them every opportunity to open their heart and to say yes to Jesus. So God, motivated by his love and desire for us, patiently endures sin and the suffering that sin creates because he longs for everyone to repent rather than to perish and to come to Christ. Verse 11, since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live. Looking forward to the day of God, hurrying it along, and on that day he will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we're looking forward to the new heaven and the new earth. He has promised a world filled with God's righteousness. So the day's coming when Jesus is going to return. And he's going to call us home. He'll return for his 1,000-year millennial reign. And then he's going to destroy the whole world by fire, and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Now, this new heaven and new earth will be very similar to what is described in Genesis 1 and 2 and what is described in the last two chapters in Revelation. They're both painting a picture of what heaven, what paradise, our eternal home is going to look like. We're not going to be floating in the clouds, wearing robes and playing harps. We're going to be on a glorified earth that is not tainted by sin. And in that day, heaven and earth will be one. God and man will live in the same place. Jesus will rule in the New Jerusalem from the throne over all of creation, and peace will reign on the earth. Boy, I can't wait for that day. But there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. So listen, everything that you love about this earth will only be better in the new heaven and the earth, because it won't be tainted by sin. So I'm just convinced in that new place that we'll have mountains and beaches and all the beautiful places. Man, it'll be even more beautiful in that place. And all the fun things we enjoy doing in creation, I think we'll be able to do in that new heaven and earth. And seasons, fall, winter, spring, summer, I think that'll be in that new place. We'll get to enjoy all of that, the beauty, the glory of creation. Man, I cannot wait to be in that place. Verse 15, remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. So God is being patient. And I know sometimes that means we suffer, but our suffering is temporary and does not compare, Paul says, to all that God has planned, all that God is preparing for us. Verse 16, speaking of these things in all of his letters, some of his comments, he's talking about Paul, some of his comments are hard to understand, and those who are ignorant and unstable have twisted his letters to mean something quite different, just as they do other parts of Scripture, and this will result in their destruction. Boy, and this is an encouraging verse, 2 Peter 3:16. Peter says that when you read Paul's letters, which is about half of our New Testament, when you read Paul's letters, he says some of what Paul's written is hard to understand. Isn't that encouraging? That here's the apostle Peter, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, admitting there is some scripture, there are some Bible passages. I read them and they're hard to understand. I just appreciate the honesty of that. And I think when we approach Scripture, we have to maintain some humility and to recognize there are some things in Scripture that are hard to understand. There are some things that we're still wrestling with. In fact, I think about my own journey. Over the last 20 years, my theology, my understanding of God's Word, my understanding of God's heart and what God's doing in the world, all that has grown and matured and changed some. So we have to approach all of that with humility. And Peter just admits some of it's hard to understand. But then he says this. He says, if you're ignorant and unstable and twist what you don't understand, you do it to your own destruction. Now that's so important. Because all of us, there are things in Scripture that's hard for all of us to accept. But if we twist what we can't accept, if we twist what we don't understand yet, if we twist it, we twist it to our own destruction. Why? Because remember, like we said a couple of days ago, God has communicated all of that to us for our benefit and blessing, to help us, to lead us into our best life. Remember, all Scripture is profitable. It's all good. It's good for us. So when we don't understand, let's not twist it. Let's not manipulate it. Let's not throw it out. Let's embrace it by faith and trust that in time, as we continue to grow and to mature in our faith, then his word, man, we see the power of His Word, the wisdom of His Word, and how it transforms and protects and builds our life. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for Peter and, man, this encouraging word to just remember that Jesus, His coming will be like a thief in the night. It can happen at any moment. So God, we look for your return. We long for your return. But God, we also live patiently, knowing that you long for everyone to repent, to open their heart to Jesus. And so God, we're willing to be patient. And God, even to suffer so that people could come to know Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your patience so that we could be born and that we could be born again into your kingdom. God, we're grateful for that. And so, Lord, we're willing to wait while you are after those around us. But that also should inspire us to do all that we can to tell our world, our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, to tell everybody we can about Jesus, to invite him into the family of God. And once again, we thank you for your word. God, help us to build our life on the truth of your word, even when we don't understand. God, we don't want to twist or manipulate scripture to our own destruction. We want to stand on your word and trust you by faith that you're leading us into our best life. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Well, thanks for being with me today. Hope that encourages you. Remember, before I begin my day, God has something to say. We'll see you again tomorrow.